refusing to pay.
He doesn't care if it's a 9-mile bike ride to work. Brian Lefebvre hanging up his car keys, taking to his two-wheeler for 31 days, maybe more. Lefebvre says he's taking a personal stand against the oil companies. And for a man who usually puts 300 miles on his truck every week, he says it's a lot of exercise for someone who's really out of shape. The Wisconsin man keeping track of the money he's saving, though, and planning to donate the cash to charity. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
What did you make for your science project in school? A quaint little volcano? Not Natalie Armitage. The Mississippi High School student is winning this year's International Science and Engineering Fair for developing biosensors to detect hazardous chemicals.
The machine's only $3,000, and it takes only a little amount of time to actually learn how to operate it.
She says it could be used to help screen food coming into the U.S. She won a $50,000 college scholarship. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to KSCO 1080 on this Saturday, May 17th. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for this weekend. We have sunny skies with a high of, 83. The northwest winds will be 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear to partly cloudy with a low of 55 tonight. And on Sunday, sunny skies with scattered clouds and a high of 78 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast. The west winds 5 to 10 knots. The wind waves 2 feet or less. A west swell 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds. And tonight, the west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, and a west swell 2 to 5 feet at 13 seconds. And let's see, Sunday, west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, and a west swell 3 to 5 feet at 12 seconds. The official time on this Saturday, May 17th, 2008, is 10:05 and 59 seconds. Up next, we have the Saturday special with your host, MZ, so stay tuned. This is KSCO 1080, and I'm Nikki James.
You are, Nikki. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, great. I'm hearing an echo, though.
Are you?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Are we hearing
I think you're on the air.
Oh, I know I am. But
no, I mean on the Comrex.
Oh, maybe that's it. Okay. You know what I'll do? I'll shut that off, and maybe I won't be in an echo this time.
Okay.
The wind is coming. I mean, the wind is here. That means the fog can't be too far behind.
Oh, great. I like this sunny weather, though.
So do I. So do I. Anyhow, the fog is our nice natural air conditioning. So when it gets to be 100 degrees or so for enough days, then even I start to want the fog.
Yeah.
But it's too soon. Too soon. I want some more nice warm days. Anyhow, we're going to have a lively, spicy Saturday special today, I think.
Yeah, I heard that we are.
Yeah. Well, let's start it out officially.
Good morning. Okay. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone on this nice, sunny day. On the Central Coast, welcome KSCO country to KSCO, your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, emanating from Corcoran Lagoon in Santa Cruz, California. We're going to be on for the next couple hours on the Saturday special, so we hope you will stay with us and participate.
Good morning, now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, here is the promo. Check out these words from a recent email to me, mz@ksco.com. Quote, I've had it with Kay's whirling and her commentaries, which she should keep to herself and not in such a public display of anger and rage. That is the antithesis of what we need now in this world. She represents an attitude we are trying to eradicate, not encourage. You should be ashamed, unquote. Well, my normal response to such an outrageous attack on my clear-thinking, totally ballsy mom would be to suspend or even revoke that person's KSCO listening privileges, but in this case, the writer has said said, quote, I will not listen to your station anymore and have taped your mother's commentary so I can play it to my friends and have them all blown away that someone would actually, in this day and age and time, be allowed to freely attack people on the air. Here in Santa Cruz, the no-hate zone. Does she remember that? Do you? Unquote. Excuse me, but this person seems herself to be guilty of the hate here, don't you think? In any case, she has been invited to explain herself on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Welcome Everyone, Even Irrational Fools, Within Limits Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Now, was that nice for me to say? I'm feeling a little guilty about that. Because I like to extend courtesies and respect to all. Well, I've been wanting to do a program about where we ask the question at the outset of the program, a simple question, and use the whole program to receive phone calls from the audience to answer that question, which is, what would our world be like without the state of Israel? Ponder that. But let's start out the program by my reading the email in its entirety. This will be a little redundant here because you've already heard some of it in the promo, but I want to read the entire thread to you, okay? I received this on Thursday, May 15th from someone named Patty Doherty. Dear Mr. Zwirling, I'm writing in response to the latest commentary Kay Zwirling has on your radio station, KSCO. I am highly offended by her grandiose statements of bigotry, prejudice, and racism. I have been a longtime listener of KSCO. My band performed on Rosie's show, and I have always enjoyed the down-home format of the station. Kay's commentaries have always just made me cringe in some way, shape, or form, but this time I have to speak up. First of all, besides all the very insulting statements she made, she needs to take a refresher course on her history, which was completely inaccurate. My husband and I were on the coach with our mouths gaping wide open when we were listening to her rant last night. In this time of terrorism, war, racism, conflict, her direct attacks on human beings is despicable. I cannot believe you, being the owner, would allow these kinds or those kinds of horrible blurbs to go on your station. Again, we were appalled at her behavior and viciousness. I will not listen to your station anymore and have taped your mother's commentary so I can play it to my friends and have them blown away that someone would actually, in this day and age and time, be allowed to freely attack people on the air. Here in Santa Cruz, the no-hate zone, the no-hate zone, does she remember that? Do you? I am not Jewish, but she should know this does not reflect well on her religion, or ethnicity. Hate begets hate. I find this whole thing disgusting, period. I have had it with Kay Zwirling and her commentaries, in quotes, which she should keep to herself, and not in such a public display of anger and rage. Again, that is the antithesis of what we need now in this world. She represents an attitude we are trying to eradicate, not encourage. You should be ashamed. Sincerely and with no regrets, Patrice. How would you have responded to that? Well, here's how I responded after thinking about it. Dear Patrice, not only do I agree with everything my mother said, which were not her words, but rather an essay that someone emailed her that she wanted to share with the KSCO audience, I urged her to put it on the air when she asked for my opinion on that idea. No, Patrice, I am not ashamed. Quite the contrary, I'm as proud of as I can be to be related to someone who thinks so clearly and who has the courage to speak out and tell it like it is. But I do want to thank you for providing the topic for my next Saturday special just 2 days from now. You are invited to call into the program. I hope you will. You will be extended the courtesy you do not deserve. Sincerely and with no regrets, Michael Zwirling. You know what? I'm embarrassed here because I forgot the pages here from the computer are a little were out of order here. I forgot to say the two sentences at the beginning of my response to her, where I said, clearly you're not Jewish, Patrice. In fact, you are probably the most Jew-hating, Israel-hating, twisted-thinking, emotional, illogical, and possibly even deranged person that I have ever received communication from. Then I went into the part about not only do I agree with everything. Yeah, sorry about that, folks. So maybe that was a little strong response on my end, but that's what I sent out. And I received the following response to that. The way you responded indicates A, a completely closed mind, and B, a paranoid fear of criticism and apparent ignorance of history. Please indicate to me where in my email it states that I hate anyone, particularly Jews. I love it when people are so quick to point the finger at everyone else. I find this kind of closed-mindedness on either side perpetuates the situation we have in the Middle East. Oh, my God. You know, I thought I had everything. Anyhow, long story short, I thought I put everything here in logical order here. What I did is I responded to that, and I said, why would somebody who is closed-minded invite the person who is the real closed-minded person to call in and participate in this program, which I have done. Now, I haven't looked at the computer here to see if Patrice is on the line. I did receive a follow-up email to that saying that she works and she would not be available, but that her husband would be. So let's see if Patrice's husband is on the line. Nope. Right now, we don't have anybody on the line here at your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Yep, nobody is on the line. So the call is out, I want to put that out to our audience here. But I guess before we go any further and before we have any phone calls, the appropriate thing to do would be to play the commentary that evoked such anger from this particular person who emailed me. And I understand from Rosemary and other staff members that there were a number of calls to the radio station from people who were upset, who characterized the commentary as racist and so forth. Without any further delay here, let's go ahead and play that original commentary, which was taken from someone else and credit was given. And then there is a follow-up commentary. We normally play the commentaries at the beginning of the second hour. We're going to play both of them right now. So here's the first one.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Remember Dennis Miller? He's a comedian who has a show called Dennis Miller Live on HBO. He's also a weekly guest on the Bill O'Reilly Show. Although he is not Jewish, he recently had the following incisive observations about the Middle East situation. Because of its length, I left out some of his remarks. I am Jewish and care intensely about Israel's survival. Kudos to Dennis for his straightforward facts. Much of this is on the Internet, but not everyone has access to it, and I believe everybody should hear it. So here's Dennis. A brief overview of the situation is always valuable, so as a service to all Americans who still don't get it, I now offer you the story of the Middle East in just a few paragraphs, which is all you really need, so here goes. The Palestinians want their own country. There's just one thing about that. There are no Palestinians. It's a made-up word. Israel was called Palestine for 2,000 years. Palestinians sound ancient, but it's really a modern invention. Before the Israelis won the land in 1967 war, Gaza was owned by Egypt. The West Bank was owned by Jordan, and there were no Palestinians. As soon as the Jews took over and started growing oranges as big as basketballs, what do you know? Say hello to the Palestinians, weeping for their deep bond with their lost land and nation. So, for the sake of honesty, let's not use the word Palestinian anymore to describe these delightful folks who dance for joy at all events until someone points out that they're being taped. Instead, let's call them what they are, quote, other Arabs who can't accomplish anything in life and would rather wrap themselves in the seductive melodrama of eternal struggle and death, unquote. How about this, then? Arabs are adjacent Jew haters. Okay, so the adjacent Jew haters want their own country. No, they don't. They really could have had their own country any time in the last 30 years when Israel became a nation. But if you have your own country, you have to have traffic lights, garbage trucks, chambers of commerce, and worse, you actually have to figure out some way to make a living. That's no fun. They want what all the other Jew haters in that region want, Israel. They also want a big pile of dead Jews, of course. That's where the real fun is, but mostly they want Israel. Why? For one thing, trying to destroy Israel, or the Zionist entity, as their textbooks call it, for the last 50 years, has allowed the rulers of Arab countries to divert the attention of their own people away from the fact that they are the most illiterate, poorest, and backward on God's earth. It makes me roll my eyes every time one of our pundits waxes poetic about the great history and culture of the Muslim Mideast. Unless I'm missing something, the Arabs haven't given anything to the world since algebra. And by the way, thanks a lot for that one. As you know, left to themselves in a world of peace, the worst Jews would do to people is to debate them to death. Mr. Bush, God bless him, is walking a tightrope. I understand that with vital operations in Iraq and others, it's in our best interest as Americans to try to stabilize our Arab allies as much as possible. However, in any big story strategy, there's always a danger of losing moral weight. We've already lost some after September 11th. Our president told us and the world he was going to root out all terrorists and the countries who supported them. Beautiful. Then the Israelis, after months and months of having the equivalent of an Oklahoma City every week and then every day, start to do the same thing we did. And what do? We tell them to show restraint. So much for our leaders' double standards. Please feel free to pass this along to a friend. Walk in peace. Be happy. Have a wonderful life. And to you, Dennis Miller, kudos again for your honest and blunt interpretations. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay, that ran for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days last week. And, yeah, it certainly evoked some response because it is somewhat controversial, I suppose. But to me, it's a history of it makes all the sense in the world. And when someone emailed that to me and asked me to pass it along, and what do I think of it, I said I thought this was great. And I passed it along to my mother, and I passed it along to some other people. And my mother said, do you think that would be a good commentary for me to put on the air? I said, damn rights I do. All right. Now there is a follow-up commentary to that that has been recorded just yesterday, I believe. I will now play that. It's about 3 minutes long. Here it is.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Swirling.
In the late 1920s, when I was a child, I remember relatives and friends who yearned to go to live in the Holy Land. They went to the Middle East and purchased small plots of land from various Arabs who were happy to dispose of their arid property. Only after they saw that the Jews, by creating drip irrigation, made their arid land blossom, those Arabs became envious, and tensions arose, and those tensions still exist and will probably never go away. I was a young mother in my mid-20s when Israel became a state in 1948, and suddenly the surrounding Arab countries were joining together to annihilate Israel for becoming a recognized state. Israel urged those Arabs living peacefully among them to remain in their homes and be protected by the new state, but their Arab brethren urged them to leave, assuring them that the Israeli Jews would easily be crushed and the Arabs could then return to their homes victorious and safe. That never happened. Since they chose to leave Israel, Israel no longer wanted them back. So what happened? Those displaced Arabs were not taken in by their Arab brethren who lived in large, wealthy oil countries and could easily have absorbed them. Instead, those Arab countries chose to keep the Israeli Arabs in camps indefinitely. Why? Specifically, to keep the displaced Arabs as political pawns, to make the world sorry for them, and to hate Israel, and to admonish their displaced brethren to never accept the Palestinian state offered to them until Israel is destroyed. That was 60 years ago. They could have had their own country for the last 60 years, but the stubborn Arabs still hope to throw Israel into the sea. That has not happened yet, but who knows? Surrounded by enemies, Israel is doomed to remain in a constant state of war. It is a shame. Israel is a tiny country, which can be traversed from north to south in 8 hours and east to west in 3 hours. Ideally, the Arabs should accept their Palestine now, next to Israel, and both should live in peace and mutual respect, and the world will be much happier for it. P.S. A few listeners called to remind me that I attributed last week's commentary to the wrong Miller. It was a Larry Miller, not Dennis Miller. I Googled Larry Miller and found a number of them and learned that the original Larry Miller in 2002 never got credit for that Palestinian piece nor others of his writings. I'm sorry for that error. But the message was interesting, though the right Larry Miller should have received the credit and the kudos for it. For KSEO and KOMY, this is K's Whirling.
Okay, so that pretty much brings us up to date, except for one thing. While that was playing, I found the rest of the email thread, which is important for me to read. So this is my response to the person who said that I was closed-minded, okay, with my response. Why would a person with, quote, a completely closed mind invite a real person with a completely closed mind, yourself, to participate on the radio program? You keep alluding to an ignorance of history on our part, but why don't you get specific? Pointing the finger at someone else? Come on, Patty. Everything you have accused my mother and me of, you are guilty of. I think they refer to that as projection in the psychology world. Seriously, please reread your original email to me and ask yourself if you are not just as, if not more, guilty of all the things you say about my mother in your hot-headed letter. Now, I know you're not going to cease listening to KSEO. You know damn well you'll be listening more and more, particularly on Saturday when we broadcast the program sparked by your letter. Be ready to call in by 10:15 or so. And Patty or Patrice responded to that, says, I am a labor and delivery nurse who has dedicated her life to helping and taking care of people. Unfortunately, I have to work on Saturday, but my husband would love to be my proxy, if you will, and call in. He has a lot to say. He is also a pundit who will make your head whirl with his knowledge. If that is okay with you, that would be great. By the way, my best friend is Jewish, and she is also appalled. Like your mother said in her commentary, may you walk in peace. I just don't think you know where that path is. Okay, so let's open the program to the phone lines. Someone named Doug in Santa Cruz has been waiting for a while. Maybe this is Patrice or Patty's husband. Hey, Doug, welcome to KSEO on the Saturday special. You're on.
Hey, MZ, I'm actually neither, but I do have a few comments to say for those who claim that Santa Cruz is the hate-free zone. How come Santa Cruz is the only university that has allowed a PLO representative to speak, yet they won't let somebody like Ariel Sharon come out here to speak? If they're free-loving and hate-free area, they should be allowing both sides of the conversation.
Yeah, in all fairness to, I guess in this case, the city of Santa Cruz, Doug, the city of Santa Cruz and the University of California, Santa Cruz, are two separate entities which are really pretty much unrelated. I couldn't agree with you more. It really frosts me. It makes me very upset that any kind of a public education institution, if it was a private thing like Stanford or whatever, that's a different animal altogether. But I couldn't agree with you more about it being absolutely wrong for only one political perspective to be presented at a public institution. I think that's horrible.
And my second point, along with the same topic, is that 95% of the quote-unquote hate-free people in Santa Cruz, being seriously, in a deep way, hate Bush. Yet they seem to take their hatred out on the U.S. military, which has nothing to do with Bush. They just follow the orders that the president give down to them. They're just people doing a job.
Right.
They take things out on the recruiters.
Uh-huh.
I've seen them, seriously, verbally attack, recruiting personnel at the mall for doing nothing more than just being there in person. And, it's just it's
being
just
thrown
ridiculous.
Off the, recruiters being thrown off the campus, and so forth.
Exactly.
So.
If you're a hate-free community, then that means you accept all views equally.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that
just like we do on the radio station here,
Exactly. I mean, you guys have equally expressed all the views that everybody has.
Well, we don't suppress it. That's for sure. We encourage people who disagree with what we say in our comments and editorials on as owners of the radio station. We encourage people who disagree to call in. And I see here that William, who's Patrice's husband, has called in here, but we do have one call, Larry, ahead of him that we'll put on. Then we'll put William on. Thanks for calling in. Have you said all you needed or wanted to say, Doug?
Well, the only other thing that I was going to point out is that, with the current debate that's going on here in Santa Cruz County, you guys have displayed both the pro and cons of that debate, and that's the Moss Spring.
Yeah.
So that's a prime example of a hate-free radio station.
Right.
I don't understand what these people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're just brainwashed by politics and by their own maybe self-hatred.
Right. Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, listen, we will continue for as long as as I have anything to do with the radio station to be a voice for everyone.
Well, thank you very much. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special at 479-1080. It's 10:30 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special with MZ and you, the callers. Let's go to our next caller, Larry in Fremont. Larry, you're on. How do you do? How are you today?
I'm good, Michael.
Great.
Yeah, I'm still hoping to interview your mother.
I think we can get that set up here pretty quick, actually.
So. Yeah, I have May 29th open. If that's good for her,
I think she's listening, and if we'll get back to you in the next day or two on that.
Yeah, okay. I'll send you an email.
Do a follow up email. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her about this exact issue, but I just had a call. She pushed so many buttons. I only heard a small fraction of the commentary, but.
You didn't tune into the beginning of this program?
Well, I tuned into the beginning, but I'm having reception problems because I'm on the bus.
Oh, I see. On the bus?
But there's some truth in some of the things she was saying. Yes, it's true the Palestinians have been mistreated by their Arab brothers. That's one of the causes of the ongoing Palestinian Israeli conflict, and unfortunately, the United States has encouraged that bad treatment by supporting reactionary governments. For instance, in Saudi Arabia, we should get out of that part of the world entirely. We shouldn't support any of those repressive those are government. You're talking about hatred for Jews. Saudi Arabia, that Bush is so close to, he's like a brother to the Prince Bandar. It's illegal to be Jewish there. It's illegal to be a Christian. Those are some of the most repressive governments on earth, and our government supports it. But anyway, her view of the Palestinians, that they're just these. She paints them as if they're all the same. They're just these leeches. They don't want to have lives. They just want to steal from the Israel. That's completely untrue. In fact, the suffering of the Palestinians, a lot of it is because they're unable to have normal lives because Israel keeps invading and keeps disrupting their lives in many different ways, in ways too many to even list here with all the checkpoints and the curfews and not letting people go to work, not letting trade goods go in and out of the West Bank and the other people places where Palestinians live, and they just want to have lives.
Maybe there are reasons for these curfews, as in preservation of your life from suicide bombers and so forth.
But it's not the way. But it only makes it worse.
Oh,
you're creating a situation. Yes, of course, the Israelis think it's reasonable to have all these security precautions. Except the more they crack down on the Palestinians, the more terrorism there is.
Okay. All righty. Happy you called in, Larry.
I also wanted to say that her view of Palestinian of Arab history is ludicrous.
Give me one concrete example, okay?
Muslims have contributed so much to world culture, from food to music. All modern math is based on the contribution.
Not all modern math. I think the word algebra was given credit.
Alive. You know, when in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, when Europe had completely forgotten the advances of Greece and Rome, those things were kept alive in the Muslim world. And astronomy is based on the work of Muslims. Many of the names of these stars are Arabic. Chemistry is based on the work of Muslims. Many of the names of our common chemicals. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, things with AL in front of them, like algebra, mm-hmm. alcohol. Those are from Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they don't drink alcohol, they discovered it chemically. I mean, they didn't discover it. I mean, it was there. But they worked with it. They were brilliant in their day. They were brilliant scientists. They established the foundation of modern science.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm happy you brought that up. That's great. Appreciate your call. Now, our next caller is William, who is Patrice's husband. Patrice is the person who wrote the original email. That was Larry in Fremont. And let's bring William on and thank him for calling the Saturday special. Hey, William, you're on.
Good morning.
How do you do?
I'm doing all right.
Great.
You had asked, well, first off, I do want to take issue with some of the historical references in your mother's editorial.
Great. You got it. You've got the airwaves.
Okay. First off, saying that Palestinian is a contemporary term that should just be referred to as in reality, other Arabs. Palestine has been an area that's been referred to for thousands of years, sometimes under Jewish control, sometimes under Ottoman control, sometimes under other control. The area was, in fact, established as Palestine after World War I. And has been called that ever since, up until the time that Israel was founded in 1948. And the basis of the crisis there goes back to what Britain did after World War I, when they promised the Arabs living there independent state under their own control. At the same time, they promised under the Balfour Declaration a state for Jews internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And began giving them access to settle there.
Mm-hmm. Talking about like 1915, 1916?
No, this is actually right after World War One in the 1920s.
Okay.
Britain then reversed course after the White Paper in 1930 and began saying the Israelis should not be settling there because there were a number of conflicts between the Jews who were beginning to settle there and the Arabs who lived there. The Arabs saying, hey, what happened to our state? And by the way, how come you're letting these guys buy up all our land? So it goes back a long ways. And to define it as something that happened that recently, I think, is nearsighted. That's the main history point I want to make, although to say that the Palestinians who were living there, the Arabs who were living there, basically were unable to do anything with the land and had no lives until the Israelis came in, or the Jews who became the Israelis came in and showed them how to do drip, or showed them that drip irrigation was possible and other such things were possible, at which point then they suddenly wanted the land, I think is very nearsighted. They lived there, and basically...
so you're not saying any of this is wrong. You're just saying it's nearsighted, which I'm not sure. By that, you mean the picture is a lot bigger, I guess, is what you're saying, right?
The picture is a lot bigger, and to state it in that kind of context,
so you think it's
a little
too simplistic or something? Or
it's too simplistic, and I think it also throws a very favorable light on the Jews. In other words, they came and pioneered in the desert, and there was nothing there before them. And to say that... essentially, the Arabs, Palestinians, who lived there prior to that time were lazy, did nothing, and now would just like to come in and capitalize on the fact that it's been made into a nice country, I think is pretty bigoted. I mean, that almost sounds like...
But you certainly take issue with it. You say that that's wrong. You probably say that that's not nearsighted. It's wrong.
To categorically describe them that way is bigoted. And that's what I really find... offensive in what was originally said.
Uh-huh.
You're basically saying all those people are like that. They're all lazy. They all really don't want to do anything, and they just like to. They'd love to come back now that something's been made of the land.
Do you say
in the first place?
Okay. Do you think that that's not true? The way you've just described it, I think what you just said was a beautiful description of what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And restated, and you have more than an issue with it. You, if I'm understanding you, you think that that's just plain false. It's a falsehood.
In that I think to categorize everybody there that way, yeah. It's like saying that all black people are lazy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think that's true. Uh-huh. I don't think you can categorize those people any more than you can categorize any other ethnic or racial group.
Okay.
And to do so, I think, is only the kind of thing that continues the kind of conflict that you have there.
Okay.
They're going to say that about the Israelis. The Israelis are going to say that about them. It's never going to get solved.
Uh-huh.
And which is why it seems to me merely to stir the pot of hatred.
I see. Okay. Well, I think that's a legitimate opinion to express here, and that's why. But boy, I mean, I assume that your wife wrote these are her words, not yours, but obviously you agree with them. From her original email to me, highly offended by my mother's grandiose statements of bigotry, prejudice, and racism. Longtime listener at KSCO.
Prejudice, and racism is what I was just referring to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, if you said those things about black people in this country, in most places, you would be in serious trouble.
Right.
Because, A, it's a fairly nasty thing to say, and B, it just ain't true.
Okay. William, would you stay on with us for a little bit, or can I put you on hold in case some people want to talk to you? I don't know if that's the case. Great. Stand by. I'll put you on hold. You'll be able to hear the program on the radio while you're on hold. But you don't need to turn your radio on. In fact, we hope you don't, because when we put you back on, it'll be feedback. Okay, thanks. If you want to call us, we'd love to hear from you. It's your live forum here on the Saturday special. 831-479-1080 is the phone number to call. If you want to email me, it's mz@ksco.com. I don't have the email open now, but with a click of a mouse, I can do that and will. So send me an email if you want to participate that way, or give us a call at 479-1080. That would be the preferred method for you to contribute to this program. If you want to send us a fax, 475-2967 is our fax line. And it's up front where nobody is currently seated. So if you do send us a fax, please call us at 475-1080. That's our main business, not on air number. And just give us a heads up that you've sent a fax. So
I got
we know
a fax.
Who to pick it up. Oh, you got one already?
I did.
Was it from Serial?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. You want to describe it, or do you want to send it to me during the break? I'll look at it. I'm sure you could describe it. You want to do
that?
I could. Okay.
I have to
You want to do that now, or you want to hold on to it?
Whenever you want. I've got it right here.
Okay. Well, let's. I'll take note of that, and okay. Let's go to our next caller, Robert in Santa Cruz. Robert, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. You are on the air.
Hi, how you doing this afternoon?
Good, Robert. Good. Hope you're doing well too.
Well, I do have a comment to make about. I do agree with what the last person said.
William, okay.
I believe you have the right to say what your opinion. I mean, and I think that it just adds more value if you give somebody else's other opinion. I mean,
well, that's what we're doing. I applaud you for taking advantage of the opportunity, just like I applaud William.
Well, I understand that.
A lot of people criticize us for putting out information or opinions that they disagree with. Well, and then when we invite them to put on their opinion, they say, I won't have anything to do with that Rush Limbaugh station.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. Listen, I totally agree with you. I mean, there's only certain times that I actually listen to the station, then I go to listen to the oldies, and then I come back. And one of the reasons that I'm not irritated with your mother's opinion so much as I'm just it irritates me that that's the only opinion I actually hear.
Well, not today. You're hearing plenty of the other opinion.
One day out of how many times that she goes on there? And I mean,
Robert, wait a second. Let's see. We have at least 5 hours a day, could be more, of local originated talk programming, and we never screen anybody out. So if you're suggesting that, you know, because Kay as a part owner of the radio station and because she has this a platform of having to be able being able to record commentaries and put them on, you know, repeatedly during a day, which, you know, that's how the message gets out. You know, that there's no, that it's not an equal thing to be able to call and respond. My answer to that is, I'm sorry. If you don't use the opportunity, it's not as if it's not there. And I think it's great that you're using it today.
I'm trying to use it today. And that's what I'm saying is that, you know, I think that that's what offends people the most, is that they're not.
Then have those people call. They've got 5 hours during every weekday to call, just like we're doing today.
You have different programming for different things, okay? And different people are going to listen at different times. I mean, you know, I personally don't really listen during the day. I listen at night. And I'll tell you, I get a lot out of your programming. I'm not arguing with your wide openness. Okay, but I think it could be a little bit more open is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I'll try to be even more wide open.
And I think that's just, you know, that's just the business that you're in, you know? I mean, just that's what's going on. So, I mean, I don't disagree with your mother's right to say what she wants. I don't disagree with anybody's right for what they want. But, I mean, maybe we should hear more of those. I mean, I've heard personal attacks on people. And it had nothing to do with the subject of what they were talking about. It just kept going on and on about them personally. And that, those kind of devices are not really useful.
Okay,
and I think that's
what
the previous guy was saying before.
That's William's point.
And kind of bringing yourself down to that, it's like you've sort of lost the battle because you're not really talking intelligently. You might be speaking intelligently, but you're not talking intelligently. And that's sort of, you know... It kind of masks a lot of things, and it happens a lot in media. I mean, you notice it all over the place. I mean, and it's sort of an illusionary thing, you know. You kind of have to pick it apart in order to really understand what they're really saying.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's really rare, at least in my experience, that you actually hear those kinds of things. And so we can appreciate that.
You need to listen more during the daytime, Robert. Thanks for calling, okay? I don't know what happened to Robert. I didn't hang up on him, but he disappeared right then. But here's our next caller, Alice in Watsonville. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. You're on, Alice.
Hi, MC.
Hey.
Your first call or your second caller, the one that the wife had written in.
Yeah, and he's still on. We'll bring him on. If you have a question for him, we can bring him on.
Have they ever been to the Middle East?
Hold on just a second. Let me lock you in here, and we'll bring William back on. William, did you hear that?
Yes, and okay. No, I have not actually been to the Middle East.
Okay, well, I lived in the Middle East. My husband worked for British Aircraft at one point in the Middle East, and I lived in Saudi Arabia. for about a year. And if you know anything about the way they treat women in the Middle East, especially in the Arabic countries, it's a downright shame. And the only place that we could go and actually be women and human beings was going to Israel. They were the only place that you did not have to wear the veil and all of the garb. You couldn't go out in public unless there was a man with you. You couldn't talk to anybody in the market. You have to have a man talk for you at the market. You couldn't exchange money unless it went through the man to the person. Women could not look at men face to face. I mean, they are a very backward people. And I kind of agree that the Jews went to Palestine and they did make the desert flower. And I know that, you know, it sounds a little bigoted in some ways, but the Arabs have got a little jealous, but they've got one thing going for them now. They've got the oil and they're holding the rest of the world hostage for the oil, all over the oil, you know? So they've got their little way to get back at us along with other things that they're doing. But for me as a woman living in those countries over there, it was, especially for an American woman going over there and living, it was an eye opener. And on top of everything else, my family had to go to a public, you know, like here in the United States, we put people in the gas chambers or put them in, you know, lethal injection. In the Middle East, they stone
public people. Execution is what you're saying, yeah.
They stone people and they make all the populace in that area go and watch it, including children. My son was 5 years old and he had to go and watch this.
Alice, I'm so happy that you called, but if possible, if we could sort of keep to the subject, I guess, did you hear the commentaries that sparked all this controversy?
Yeah, and, you know,
it's inflammatory? Do you think it's racist? Do you think it's bigoted?
It was a little simplistic, but it's what goes on over there, you know, and it is, and I think, it wasn't... You know, yes, England made their big mistake about trying to make sure that everybody would live. But I know for a fact that the people that were coming in when they took it over and been made a state out of it, they wanted people to stay. And definitely the other Arab countries told them to go and live where they, you know, would go on to the, you know, go to their countries, but they didn't go there. Mm-hmm. They ended up making that huge refugee camp, and it's been there for 30 years, and there's been how many people, or 50 years, how many people have tried to do something, and they turn around and they make it worse off for themselves. So,
William, you feel free to speak here, because you're on the air with Alice,
okay,
if you want
well,
to answer any of that.
I would first say that, sure, there's going to be examples of problems in the Middle East. If you talk about Saudi Arabia, that's... a very problematic government, and we have, as a country, have supported that government. And I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, but we have done a lot of things in the Middle East that haven't been a particularly good idea for politically expedient reasons, including a lot of our policies towards Israel and its neighbors, which go back to the Cold War and a lot of other things. I'm not going to say that there's equal treatment of women in Arab countries, that's certainly not true. And there's a lot of reasons to think that it would be good if some of those policies were changed.
Not all of them? Just some of them, huh?
I'm talking about all of their policies as a whole, not all of their policies towards women. I'm just saying that you don't necessarily say, okay, you got to be like us, but you certainly don't need to be like that. But, you know, people are also... have different beliefs, and if you're going to live in their country, sometimes you have to respect those beliefs, just as you would be expected to respect our beliefs if you come to this country.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're right, I'm just saying that that's kind of what goes with the territory to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of like the people who move to this country from another country should reasonably be expected to learn English and not unreasonably expect us to put out ballots in their languages. Would you agree with that? I know it's off the subject, but I can't wait to hear your answer, William.
My answer is basically yes. In the long run, you have to provide some sort of transition. But yeah, I mean, if I went and lived in Mexico, I would expect to learn Spanish.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
All right. Listen, I don't mean to interrupt you, and I'm not going to cut you off or anything. We're going to keep you on for if you want to, because I'm sure there are other people who might want to talk with you. But I want to pose the question to you that I've been wanting to do a whole program on by just asking this question, and all of the callers, you know, will just answer this question: would the world be better off or worse off if there was no Israel? What's your answer to that question?
I don't think that's an answerable question, because right now there's no way to make it go away. If you're saying had there never been the effort by Britain and the international Zionist community before World War One to settle in the Middle East.
Okay, yeah, let's ask it that way then. What's your answer to that?
If there had never been that effort, it could be. And there also could have been ways to establish a state there that could have been handled a lot better, and you wouldn't have a lot of the problems. I think that it has been a systematic missing of historical opportunities and screw-ups on an amazing scale for a long time that have produced the problem that you have there now. And my real point earlier is throwing more fuel on the fire does not make it go out.
What would make it go out, do you think? Is there anything that you can think of?
I think you would have to find some way of getting the most extreme actors out of the equation on both sides. You're going to have to come up with a two-state solution. It's almost there, but the particulars are going to be very hard to pin down because there's been so much animosity for such a long time.
Uh-huh.
And so many people have so many political chips in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just Israel and the Palestinians. It's also the Syrians. It's also... you're going to have to deal with the refugee situation, which is going to be one of the thorniest issues, because a lot of those people lost their land. Maybe they walked away from it because they didn't want to be in the middle of a battle, which is what was going on in 1948. Maybe they were forced out. Maybe they decided they didn't want to be there. But the reality is an awful lot of them don't have a place to be right now, and you're going to have to find something do with that.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be the hardest problem.
Okay. Stay with us here. It's 10:56 on hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. I want to thank Alice from Watsonville for calling. That opens up a line at 479-1080. We are on with William Doherty. Am I right? That's your last name?
No, actually, my last name is Burnside.
Oh, William Burnside. Okay. He is here to... express opinions on, I guess the best way to express why you're here is to promote a let's all not try to be put out such extreme divisive words I'm trying to encapsulate the reason why.
I think that the extremism gets you only more extremism, and I think that's not the way to solve the problem. I also think that if you are not historically accurate, that creates further problems, because those who do not, I'll go back to the old saw, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next caller is JT in Watsonville. You're on, JT, with MZ and William.
MZ, my friend, thanks for sharing 10,000 watts with me.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, you got me right up against the news. I know you do, so I'm going to try to be fast. But listen, Israel's lived in a state of war. They're under attack every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the people who live over here in the United States in Fantasy Island, you know, you go down the street, you go to the store, they're not blowing malls up. They're not blowing the market's up. They're not blowing buses up.
Yet.
We live in such a fantasy island here in the United States. And when
still.
I hear people from Santa Cruz, when I hear people from UCSC who, you know what? The recruiter came to my door. I got a 17-year-old daughter. the recruiter came to my door and I talked to him and I talked, you know, nuts and bolts with him, what he's looking for, what my daughter's looking for. And you don't need to picket the damn university if you go with your children and speak with them and you have a relationship so you can talk to them about what their dreams might be for their future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm disgusted. Oh, first of all, I'm glad Israel exists. I'm a Christian. They are my Jewish brothers. They are the foundation of the religion that I believe in. And we may have different beliefs on how we're going to be saved and where we're going to go, but they are people of God. And they were done wrong by this country in World War II until we finally went over and sacrificed blood to help to free them. And so the only way that we're going to have peace, the only way that Israel is going to have peace is through strength, is through power, is through force. Because you can't negotiate with someone who wants to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I couldn't agree more here. Now let's bring William back on. I want to make sure we don't lose you also. Okay, William, real quick, we've got about 50 seconds before we have to break for the news, and we want to keep Serial Faxer and Nancy from Santa Cruz on over the break, please. Go ahead, William, you're on.
Okay, I partly agree in that I don't think you can, with the current situation, have reasonable negotiations unless you can back them up by saying, okay, if we don't come to some reasonable conclusion, there will be consequences. But I think to enforce your policy and make your policy based on the use of force is only going to get more from the other side. You're going to have to find some way of ratcheting this down, or it's going to be continuing suicide bombings and continuing retaliatory attacks, and that's not going to bring peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry to chime in real quick. How can you ratchet down someone who wants
to... We're going to hold you both, okay? Stand by here. Yeah, this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Senate icon Ted Kennedy is in a Boston hospital after at least one, perhaps two, seizures of some kind. Fox News Radio Senate watcher Mike Makowicz has more on the story. He joins us now live. Mike.
Chris, a spokesman for Senator Kennedy says he suffered a seizure at his Hyannisport home this morning. It now appears that it was not a stroke as previously suspected. There are reports that there may have been two seizures. The 76-year-old Kennedy was taken to a Cape Cod hospital after feeling ill. He was then flown by helicopter to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, where he remains. Kennedy was in the same hospital just last October to repair a nearly complete blockage in a major neck artery. The goal of that procedure was to prevent a stroke. Chris?
Well, Kennedy was recently focusing on improving his health.
Teddy was getting himself in shape because I think you would have seen him working extremely hard for Obama if, in fact, Obama wins the nomination. So I think he was getting fighting fit, as he would put it, to get on the road.
That's Boston Globe reporter Kevin Cullen. And the Obama campaign has issued a statement. Senator Obama himself says, quote, "We are putting a call into Vicky Kennedy. We're going to try to find out as quickly as possible what's going on. Obviously, my thoughts and prayers are with Teddy. He is one of my favorite people. And so hopefully he is going to be okay." President Bush says that he is, quote, "absolutely committed to getting an Israeli-Palestinian peace accord by the end of the year." This after the president met with Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas at the Bush visit villa in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. He also says that Lebanon is a, quote, "in a defining moment," and that the U.S. stands with the government and against any Hezbollah power grab. It's a busy weekend for the president in Sharm el-Sheikh. Even as China struggles in its continuing earthquake rescue and recovery operation, there's word of a 6.1 magnitude quake in Sichuan province, the site of the 7.9 that killed tens of thousands. It's apparently the strongest in a series of scores of aftershocks since that first huge quake. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
Denzel Washington's second lead role from 2007 leads off this week's Fox Light DVD release roundup. He's Professor Melvin Tolson, leading a ragtag debate team up against Harvard's acclaimed 1930s bunch in The Great Debaters. Washington also steps behind the camera to direct this uplifting flick with a stellar cast including Forrest Whitaker and Kimberly Elise. The war on cybercrime is valiantly fought by Diane Lane and Colin Hanks, son of Tom, in Untraceable. Lane and Hanks are FBI agents on the trail tale of a tech-savvy killer who tortures his victims on the internet, and the more hits his site gets, the quicker he kills them. Reminds me of an IT guy I once had. And TV premiering on DVD this week includes Two and a Half Men Season 3, Mission Impossible Season 4, and Saturday Night Live's complete third season, once again including all the great musical performances. In New York, Rob Moore, Fox News Talk.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
The Speaker of the House in Baghdad, a top American legislative leader, talking to her opposite number in Iraq ahead of provincial elections.
We met with the Speaker of the Parliament here, and we're assured that the elections will happen. They will be transparent, and they will take Iraq closer to the reconciliation we all want it to have.
Nancy Pelosi meeting also with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, praising the government for getting a budget passed as well as oil legislation. Pelosi leading a bipartisan congressional delegation on an Iraq fact-finding mission. Pakistan's ambassador to Afghanistan home again after being kidnapped 3 months ago while traveling through that lawless Pakistan-Afghanistan border region. His release comes as the Pakistani government is trying to negotiate peace in that area. Well, it's one part titillating crime story, two parts police work. And it's been around for what in television terms is a lifetime.
It's been 20 years since America's Most Wanted first hit the airwaves. And despite nearly being canceled, the show has survived and thrived, managing to take huge numbers of criminals off the streets. Tonight's episode marks the 1,000th capture, a milestone host John Walsh is proud of, but he's quick to credit the audience.
The individual viewers who have picked up that phone for 20 years or left a tip online at our website and made a huge, huge difference. Saved someone's lives, got justice for a victim they never met, but had the guts to pick up that phone. So it's been an incredible journey, and 1,000 captures. To me, it's a remarkable number.
AMW airs 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. Mari Cartel, Fox News Radio.
Thousands of people in southern Louisiana and the Lafayette region are being evacuated after 6 rail cars derailed and 2 leaked hydrochloric acid. Repeating our top story, a spokesperson for Senator Edward Kennedy says the senator has been hospitalized after suffering a seizure. It doesn't appear he had a stroke as initially suspected. He's undergoing tests at Mass General Hospital in Boston. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to KSEO 1080 on this Saturday, May 17th. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for this weekend. We are having some sunny skies and a high of 83. The west-northwest winds will be 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tonight, clear to partly cloudy with a low of 55. West-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on Sunday, sunny with scattered clouds and a high of 78. And the west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And your Monterey Bay boaters forecast, the west winds will be 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and tonight the west winds will be 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 2 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and some patchy fog. Sunday, we'll have west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 12 seconds. The official time is 11:05 and 49 seconds on this Saturday, May 17th, 2008. Up next, we have the second hour of the Saturday special with, of course, your favorite MZ. Stay tuned. This is KSEO 1080. I'm Nikki James.
How many other MZs are there that I'm the favorite MZ?
If there is any more, you are the favorite.
Okay. I remember learning in grade school that the importance of a comma in a sentence. It showed a cartoon of a kid that was sweating because it was a really hot day or something, and it said, "I'm roasting, comma, Dad." And then the next picture, it showed the guy with his father in a pot about to stick him in the oven, and it said, "I'm roasting Dad," with no comma. So, yeah, maybe that's all that you meant with your favorite MZ.
Yeah. MZ.
Okay. Okay. And I misinterpreted what you were saying. I thought you meant your favorite MZ, as if there are several other other MZs that are not your favorite.
There's no other.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So let's see. May 17th.
Yeah.
I have a funny brain. Numbers sort of jostle things in my brain, and I could be wrong, and I'm sure people will check this out on Google or something as we start. But isn't May 17th President John F. Kennedy's birthday, the anniversary of his birth? I think he was born in 1917, I think. So that, if I'm right, if it was on May 17th, 1917, I might be wrong about one of those things, but I think the May 17th part is right. What would that make President Kennedy now? 91, really? I guess, right? If he were alive, President John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, probably right up there.
Is May 17th? Well, I'm sure we'll find out. Okay. Right. Yeah, gee, I think we still have a full line of full board of callers
here.
Yeah,
we got a lot.
Yeah, so let's and don't let me forget to run the commercial break that from last. We had 3.5 minutes that hour and probably as many this hour.
Maybe a little less, but we can do them all together or separately whenever you want.
Okay. Well, you won't let me get past, say, 11:30 before you chime in and say, MZ, you got to play the commercials or there won't be any other radio station left.
I won't. I'll yell at you.
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Okay. Here we go. We'll start the start hour number two here, officially here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, as I said before, the beginning of hour number two is normally the time set aside to play the latest K's commentary. But since we've already done that, we're not going to do that now.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
But what we are going to do now, we're going to have a little fun for just about 10 seconds or so, okay? I got into the I'm getting into the habit of putting out a contest. You know, a little sound that I want people to identify. And the person who identifies it will get, you know, a bottle of minerals or a bottle of, you know, liquid nutritional vitamins. It'll make you a much better person than you are. Absolutely, positively. Okay, now, this is from, well, the only clue I'm going to give you is this 4-second sound bite is from a television program. Okay, that's all I'm going to tell you. I probably shouldn't have even told you that much. And I want you to tell me what that program is. Okay, listen to it. Okay, that's all I'm going to play you for right now. That should be, it was a popular enough television program that should be enough.
Hey, guess what?
What?
This lady called in and she told me that Kennedy was born on the 29th of May.
Okay,
But you were right with 17 because he was born in 1917.
Oh, okay. So the 1917. Okay, so it isn't quite the 91st anniversary of his birth, but we're within 12 days, right? So.
Yeah. Good job.
Okay. Well. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, do you? I would be really surprised if you knew what that sound is. I'd be real surprised.
Well, you're surprised, all right. Okay. I have no idea, but I have a caller that knows. It's line 8.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second. I will switch over.
Okay.
And put on line 8.
Yep.
Okay. Hello, line 8.
Hey, how's it going, Michael?
Yeah. Who is that? What is that?
That's so. Mary Tyler Moore.
You're right.
I've seen every episode at least 10 times.
Oh, isn't that the, what is that, the greatest sitcom that ever, I mean, just the best written, best casted.
Yeah, Ted Baxter.
As good a sitcom as The Rifleman was a Western.
Ted Baxter on there was just hilarious.
Yeah.
The chemistry. They all look like cartoon characters. You could put them on a cartoon strip. You
know? Yeah. And that music from the main title was really special. I'm going to play a little bit more of it here because, you know, the wonderful thing about the internet is that I said, boy, that was such a neat, I wonder if I could grab that. I Googled and I got it within a minute and a half. I had it in my computer. Just an amazing age that we live in.
You know, I don't watch television to the extent that I used to, but Sitcoms were so much better back then.
Yeah.
They had Mary Tyler Moore and MASH and All in the Family and Taxi, and the list just went on and on.
What is your complete name, sir? You don't have to give us your phone number, but I'll put you on hold so you can give that to Nikki. And if you can come by the station, and we'll give you a wonderful prize.
Oh, good.
Because you've earned it.
Good.
Okay. So what's your name at least, and then I'll put you on hold.
My name is Rod Carrillo.
The Rod Carrillo?
That's right.
Oh, cool. All right. Hey, great. Hey, Rod, thanks. That's terrific. And I don't know. I thought it might take a little longer, but
I was listening, so you had a 70s television junkie listening. So that was going to go quick.
Okay. Nikki, he's on line 8. You told me that. Thank you, Rod. Congratulations. See if you can get a phone number for him. You know, for no other reason, if we do a show on television 70s sitcoms, you know, he'd be a great guest to have on.
Totally.
And then he can just come on in and pick up. Make sure Rosie and the guys at the front office know that he's supposed to get a wonderful prize. Not a crummy prize, a really good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way,
yeah,
if you would have played a tiny bit more of that, I would have gotten it.
Really?
Yep. I totally watched that all the
time. Well, here's what since it's such a wonderful show, not only will I play, I have a longer version of this stinger. I'm going to start using it as a stinger like Rush Limbaugh does.
Perfect.
You know, we go into here's the 8-second version, twice as long.
Oh, yeah, this is classic.
See, I'm going to use that as a stinger. Now, it's so good, I'm going to play the whole damn song. Here it is, okay?
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it. Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can never tell, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. You're gonna make it after all.
Wasn't that the greatest? Opening theme and a great main title, the videos that go with it. You can find that on YouTube if you do a Google search or a YouTube search, the main title, Mary Tyler Moore Show, opening theme and so forth. And you can see the video that goes along with it. Just great. What did I want to say? Oh, the writer and performer of that is named that what you just heard is a man named Sonny Curtis. And I believe he is in his mid-70s, early 70s. I think he was born in 1935. And he's a country western performer, singer, performer, composer, and so forth, I think. And he did that, and they've used it, and I think he's still alive and well. Anyhow, welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. We've been talking about... the Middle East situation, and let's just go back to the callers that we had on the line. I think we had JT. JT wanted to finish up. We told him we'd hold him on over the break, and he was talking to William. Okay, guys, you're back on. Let's finish up real quick, and because we got quite a number of other callers to go to. Okay.
Quick couple comments. First of all, MZ, my very heavy-hearted condolences. You haven't been able to sell the station yet because I absolutely love it. It's so unique in the industry, and thank you so much for hanging in there. And secondly,
no one's interested or not right. You know, I gotta say this since you brought it up.
Okay.
I don't mean to interrupt, but people have been asking. I announced on the 60th anniversary of KSCO going on the air, September 21st last year. I was getting out of the radio business and was looking for the perfect buyer. And to me, the perfect buyer would be and will still be somebody who wants to continue the radio station, take it to the next level. I don't want this to, and don't call me a racist, folks, you know, but I don't want KSCO to become a some sort of an ethnic or foreign language broadcast radio station, which is the trend these days. The only companies that seem to be buying radio station, broadcast stations at the moment are companies that are turning them into, you know, some sort of foreign language station or ethnic or religious or whatever. And I would prefer that KSCO remain just like it has been. And that is why nobody in his right mind who wants to sell his radio station gets on the radio, it gets on the station himself and says, this station is for sale, someone come and buy it. Well, that's exactly what I did. And the reason I did it is because I figured that is probably the best way that such a buyer would turn up. It was and is my hope that somebody who listens to KSCO in our vast audience, who loves the radio station and would like to see it continue, would step up to the plate and make a deal with me here. But and I really haven't done what normal people do when they want to sell their radio property, is contact the national media broker and list it with them, much like you list a house or a commercial property with a broker. There are brokers who specialize in selling radio stations, and they quietly put it out to potential buyers, and they show the radio station nights and weekends so it doesn't upset the staff and so forth. And I decided that, at least for now, I wanted to not do it that way. I wanted to do it in a way that where I think it will yield the kind of buyer that I could hand pick and not have to, you know, accept the offer from or whatever. Anyhow, it hasn't happened, and so I guess at least for now, it hasn't been meant to be. And a lot of people are happy that I haven't been able to sell the radio station like you.
MZ, yeah. I'm so glad that it's your baby. And I'm so glad you don't want to sell it to the Arab slave traders. And I'm so happy that you're holding out for something that you believe with the sacrifice of you just making a buck. You're holding out so it can be right. And mm-hmm. God bless you for that. Anyway, and one last thing. Thanks for your mom's commentaries. We all love them. She gets harsh sometimes. But you know what? Sometimes you need to be harsh. There's too much PC, too much, oh, let's not hurt anybody's feelings, too much, oh, let's all play nice. You know what? The world wasn't built on playing nice. The people who played nice, there's no history written about them because they're all dead and gone. They don't have countries anymore. Yeah. One last question for the gentleman, William. God bless you and your wife, and everybody has an opinion here in America because men and women have fought and died for it. I just had a quick question for you. Is anyone in your family in the military?
No.
Okay. So you consider your taxes as full payment for your freedom?
Not necessarily.
Well, I'm just saying, because there's been a number of people in my family in the military. I prefer my daughter didn't go in, but if she chooses to, I respect it, admire, and honor her. And I'm just saying, you know, if you don't know the taste of war, and I don't like it, my family didn't like it, but if you don't know what it takes to be free, to sacrifice your family, our sons of our country dying for a war that you may or may not believe in, I may or may not believe in, MZ may or may not believe in, but they go and they serve and they fight and they die and they get broken because they love this country.
Well, let me just say I have the highest respect for the people who serve in the military. I don't always have such a high respect for those who employ the military the way they sometimes do.
Absolutely right. Perfectly said. You got a full board, MZ. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
William,
do.
God bless you for having the guts to come on and discuss this. You're an honorable
right
man.
On.
How are you, MZ?
Right on. And, William, I got to ask you this. It's really a question directed at your wife, but I think you could answer for her.
Okay.
Is she really never going to listen to KSCO again?
Well, after this, I would say probably she would, because I have to say I give you a lot of credit for putting this on, for putting me on, and for entertaining this discussion.
Okay, good. All right, our next caller will be Nancy in Santa Cruz. Then, Serial Faxer himself. We got to do the Serial Fax. We got to have Nikki come on and describe in her best possible way a Serial Faxer's fax, and then we'll put Serial Faxer himself live and in person on your favorite radio station. Okay, Nancy in Santa Cruz, you're on.
I'm on now?
Yep.
Hi. As far as Israel not being, would we be better off if Israel wasn't on the face of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of offended. I was really punched in the gut when you said that. That was my gut reaction. I just felt like I got hit, and I'm not Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 51 years old, and I've paid as good attention as I can, being limited to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really want to know is, I've heard from the British, I think it was the British Broadcasting, I heard this on that the reason Israel made the desert bloom is because they have the water, and the Palestinians sold their water to Jordan for 30 years or something. But all I know for sure is something underhanded is really going on, and the answer is not to get rid of Israel, is to figure out how to make Palestine happy. Now, take some of that oil money and irrigate Palestine and share the water and share the wealth. And it's so simple. And as far as Kay's commentaries, I often find them biting and hateful, and I very rarely agree with her. I think she is a bigot.
Okay, and elaborate a little bit more, if you don't mind.
On what?
On why you think she's a bigot. Give us an example of why you think
my
mother's a bigot.
Mostly her descriptions of the Arabs, that blanket statement of them being lazy and dirty, I was offended to hear that over the airways. And I would expect more from someone who has access, so much access. That there's a way to be stressed, there's a way to be strenuous and strict, and then there's another way of venting that doesn't do any good at all.
I think you've accused my mother of saying something that she didn't say.
I just listened to it on the radio.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have to play it again here. But in any case, you said that there are some other... there were some other commentaries you said that bother you too. I mean, a lot of what she says has led you to conclude that she's bigoted.
I really don't, if
you're going to make such a statement, I think you should be prepared, Nancy, to back it up. Is that unreasonable?
That's very reasonable. Very reasonable.
I'm waiting.
Well, I can't back it up right now because I can't think of one. So I'll take it back and say that just this commentary was very offensive to me.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see. Did you want to ask a question or have our historian, William, here?
Yes, please. Actually, I'd like to, I think when we have discussions like this, I so often would like to have a reference of something to read, like from both sides. And
uh-huh.
If there's anything, I haven't heard anything else about the water problem. And it seems like it's a big issue.
Yeah, what do you know about that, William? You're on.
As to what she was talking about water being diverted, I am not aware of that. I know the water is a scarce commodity there, but beyond that, I don't know anything that's being done about diverting the water from the West Bank region somewhere else.
Okay. Well, so let's just thank Nancy for her phone call. Hope you'll call
thank
back
you.
Again. And you can't say that KSCO doesn't provide a voice for everyone, even people who disagree strongly with us.
I like this station a lot.
Okay.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
You bet, Nancy. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Now, before we go to Serial Faxer, why don't you come on, Nikki, and do your best to describe the latest Serial Faxer facts.
Okay, so there's Patty, and right next to Patty is a sign that says no hate zone. And then in parentheses it says except for George Bush and other fascist pigs. And then Patty is saying, hey, you beeping a-hole, don't you know this is a beep? No hate zone. This is Santa Cruz. Get a clue, you hateful beep. Move somewhere else. And then down in the bottom right-hand corner, it says, yo, it's a no hate zone except for those SOBs we hate.
Oh, God, I got to see this. Listen.
It's here, pretty funny.
I'm writing my in the computer now, mm-hmm. In the chat here, you will see my private fax number here.
Cool.
Okay, if you could, when you get a chance during the break or something, mm-hmm. if you can fax that serial faxer's fax to me, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thank you. There it is. You see the number, right?
Yep.
Okay, here comes our next caller. None other than Serial himself. You're on. Oh, no, you're not. I hit the wrong button. Now you're on. Okay, there you are, Serial. Sorry about that.
I've been on hold so long, I had a birthday and redid my driver's license at the DMV.
Okay, sorry.
Listening to you guys arguing about this is like listening to an abortion debate, you know? There's really no one's going to convince anybody else. It's just going to go on like people chipping on rocks. What I thought the Saturday special was about is somebody using hateful rhetoric to write a letter to someone to tell them they're in a hateful zone.
I know. It was. It was, and it is.
That was the most obvious thing to me. I don't know if her points are valid. I will tell you this. My folks lived in the Middle East for many years in a lot of spots. And the way my dad, he was no historian, but the way he told it to me about the water was kind of the same thing. It's like having a real old car that you don't want and you sell it to some or give it to somebody else and they fix it up real nice. That's the way I understood the water thing. But my only point was saying you don't write someone a hateful, nasty letter telling them this is a no-hate zone. What do you think, William?
Am I on?
Yeah, you've been on.
Okay. Well, first off, the primary purpose of that was to call attention to errors.
But you're not answering my question, bro.
Well, I don't think it was a hateful letter. I think it was merely saying, hey, what's going on here? If you're going to say stuff like that, get your facts straight.
My good friend, I think you should read the letter again if you don't think that was...
Okay, I'll do it. Here it is. On Thursday, May 15th, I, Michael L. Zwirling, received the following email. Dear Mr. Zwirling, I am writing in response to the latest commentary K. Zwirling has on your radio station KSCO. I am highly offended by her grandiose statements of bigotry, prejudice, and racism. I have been a longtime listener of KSCO. My band performed on Rosie's show, and I have always enjoyed the down-home format of the station. Kay's commentaries have always just made me cringe in some way, shape, or form, but this time I have to speak up. First of all, besides all the very insulting statements she made, she needs to take a refresher course on her history, which was completely inaccurate. That's all it says. It just says it was inaccurate. My husband and I were on the coach with our mouths gaping wide open when we were listening to her rant last night. In this time of terrorism, war, racism, conflict, her direct attacks on human beings is despicable. I cannot believe you being the owner would allow those kind of horrible blurbs to go on your station. Again, we were appalled at her behavior and viciousness. I will not listen to your station anymore and have taped your mother's commentary so I can play it to my friends and have them blown away that someone... God, who's got that noise? Is that you, Siri? I'm going to put you on hold here. Yeah, it was Siri. I will not listen to your station. I tape your mother so I can play it that anybody would actually, in this day and age and time, be allowed to freely attack people on the air. Here in Santa Cruz, the no-hate zone. Does she remember that? Do you? I am not Jewish, but she should know this does not reflect well on her, her religion, or ethnicity. Hate begets hate. I find this whole thing disgusting, period. I have had it with Kay Zwirling and her commentaries, in quotes, which she should keep to herself and not in such a public display of anger and rage. Again, that is the antithesis of what we need now in this world. She represents an attitude we are trying to eradicate, not encourage. You should be ashamed. And that's signed sincerely and with no regrets, Patrice. Okay, so here, I read it. I reread it, Serial. What are your comments?
No vitriol there, huh?
Well, what do you find so vitriolic there?
Oh, listen. All right, that's all I had to say. You got my opinion. If you can't see the irony in that letter, then...
But there's irony in that letter, but I don't think it's vitriolic. I don't think it is hateful, and I don't think it characterizes anyone.
And she's not judging Kay, and as she's asking Kay not to judge them, the Palestinians, right? Read it to him, bro.
My commentary on that would be, she's not judging Kay other than by what Kay said on the air.
I wish Cyril hadn't hung up, but he did. In any case, I think the point that he was trying to make is that it's a little incongruous that, to me, I mean, I took this as a pretty, as certainly as hateful and toward Kay and toward Jews and Israel. I mean, that's the way I took it, too.
Explain to me how it was hateful towards Kay or towards Jews or towards Israel.
Because I'm highly offended by her grandiose statements of bigotry, prejudice, and racism. Suggesting there that her whole commentary was pregnant with grandiose statements of bigotry, prejudice, and racism. And I don't see that at all.
Let's see. Characterizing the Arabs as lazy and characterizing the fact that they basically did nothing with that land, and the only reason that they're interested in it now is because it was made into something by the Jewish settlers, I think is historically inaccurate. And if you're going to say stuff like that, you maybe should back it up with history.
Okay.
If you're going to say things that are inaccurate, and you're going to say them with such a bully pulpit that you have when you have a radio commentary slot that is repeated, then I think you have some duty to at least check your facts.
Okay. All right, here's an email in from Ellie Kramer here. MZ, in my 62 years, I have rarely heard such a simple and complete explanation of the problems in the Middle East. Kay has said it all, and again, this is Kay gave credit to, said that she is not the author of this, but it was emailed to her, and she thought it was great enough to share with the KSCO audience. Kay has said it all, and it's no wonder that the Jew-hating lefties here in Santa Cruz have attacked her in such a vicious manner. So, if the Israeli haters, or if the Israel haters want to have their say, let them buy some time or buy a radio station. Michael, you and I both know that they will always be, quote, offended, unquote, when someone differs from their way of thinking. God bless the state of Israel in its 60th birthday. That's Ellie. I guess Ellie reacted the same way I did to this. I was just as offended by this your wife's very offending. You know what I'm trying to say here.
Well, again, explain to me exactly what was offensive or hateful in that letter.
To me, it. It says I am not Jewish, but she should know. These are just words of someone who all right.
All I think was being said there is if you make bigoted and harsh statements, people will react.
Okay.
As we did.
Okay. All right. And I don't think it's a terrible thing. I mean, I wanted to have – I didn't have a Saturday special. And when I received this from your wife, I decided I had a Saturday special.
Well, we're glad we can help.
Okay, great. Let's see. There's some more.
If I could interrupt, could
please
play some commercials?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, what would we do without? We'd lose the radio station. We would go out of business.
Yep.
If it was, you need to have a raise.
Thank you.
Yeah, but with what? Yep. We got to bring in some more advertisers first. A lot more advertisers. By the way, before I forget, I do want to say this because I've been meaning to say this for a long time. People have over the years said, my God, if I owned a business, I would be the first to use KSCO to build it and advertise all over KSCO. And my response to that is you don't have to have a business to send KSCO money. We'll be happy to take donations. I know this sounds really low class to some people, but someone said once in one of our callers said it would be great if you had an easy way for people to donate, like on your website, like a PayPal or something like that. If people just wanted to send you $5 or $10 or $100 or something to help keep local programming or this kind of station on the air. Guess what? We did it, folks. You got what you asked for. And if you go to KSCO.com, www.ksco.com, the first thing you'll see on both the left and the right is if you click here to join, I think on the right you can elect to have $10.80 deducted from your credit card every month to become a KSCO premium member. What do you get for that? Nothing. Just the good, warm feeling in your heart that you're helping us, do what we want to continue to do here. And then there's on the left-hand side, you can click if you want to make a donation in a particular amount. If you want to, donate $5 or contribute $100 or $1,000, you can do that. And you know what? I've been looking at the PayPal account. There's some money in it. And every time someone clicks and sends a little money through PayPal to KSCO, I get an email saying so-and-so has you've just received a $10.80 payment or a $100 payment or a $5 payment or whatever. It's really, really cool. So I just wanted to put that out. I really should make a promo and play that all over the radio station. Maybe we'll get some more. That'd be good. The more you do that, the more we're going to be able to bring you the kind of stuff that is unique and you won't find anywhere else, because I'm looking forward to a day when all of our programming on KSCO can be 100% original and 100% good, 100% quality. Okay, play the commercials. Thank you.
So the other day, I'm cruising in my Hummer. I see these dogs doing that meet and greet, circle and sniff thing. Hey, how you doing? Come here often? Yeah, all the time. And those dogs got me thinking, I don't want some guy sniffing around my Hummer telling me what it needs, like an oil change every 3,000 miles. My Hummer dealer clued me in on that one. Most newer Hummers, like mine, have an oil life monitor that tells me when it's time for a change. With OnStar, I can subscribe and get a diagnostic report via email. And I always check my owner's manual for a complete maintenance schedule. And when it's the right time for me, I choose the Hummer experts on the Goodwrench service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
I got an oil change, tire rotation, and a Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection. These guys know more about my Hummer than anyone. And for me, that's the best deal of all.
See your Hummer Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Goodwrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
The first time I felt it, the second time I loved it, and the third time I told all my friends. Of course, I'm talking about ACT, the new feel-good energy drink. ACT is all natural, made with vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and antioxidants, so you get the energy you want without the junk that's in those other drinks. ACT feeds your cells, works in 5 to 10 minutes, and lasts for up to 6 hours with no jitters and no crash. You'll feel great all day, just like I did. People from 12 to 80 love ACT. Whether you want your kid drinking a healthier alternative or you're 80 years old and want more get up and go, ACT is diabetic friendly and fits in great with any diet and fitness plan. While you may have seen ACT at various retail locations around town, to buy at a discount or for a free sample, call me, Robin, at 831-818-4144. That's 831-818-4144. Or send me an email, robin@ksco.com. You'll be glad you did.
Now you can get rid of the hazardous materials in your home and it won't cost you a thing. Hello, I'm Patrick Matthews with Santa Cruz County Public Works with an answer for what to do with all those hazardous materials in your home. Bring them to us. That's right. If you live in the unincorporated areas of Santa Cruz County, the cities of Scotts Valley, Santa Cruz, or Capitola, we will take your hazardous wastes for free. Bring us your paints, solvents, pesticides, flammable liquids, fuels, outdated medicines, pool and photographic chemicals. But don't bring us compressed gas cylinders, explosives, infectious or radioactive wastes. You can also pick up free recycled paint and other household products from our Second Chance store when you visit. For the hours of household hazardous waste facilities at Buena Vista Landfill, Ben Lomond Transfer Station, and City of Santa Cruz Resource Recovery Center, visit SantaCruzCountyRecycles.org. That's SantaCruzCountyRecycles.org or call 454-2606. That's 454-2606. Remember, Santa Cruz County Recycles.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi, V-Cubed here, asking your support for my wife, Carolyn Busenhart, in her bid for First District Supervisor. Carolyn will make a great supervisor. She's truthful. She has the courage to stand by her convictions. To learn how to help her campaign or her positions on the issues, go to carolynforsupervisor.org. That's with the number 4, or call 475-5566. We need your time. We need your money. Paid for by Bohr Enterprises for Carolyn for Supervisor.
For several months now, you've heard the commercials for Santa Cruz Tile and Stone here on KSCO. Now you can go to the KSCO.com website and click on the yellow box and see their fabulous showroom and their great products and services. If you're thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom, then you need to visit Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. And you'll also find Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, Phoenix Spas, and Gazebos at the lowest prices in Santa Cruz County. And remember, Phoenix Spas and Gazebos are the only ones built in Northern California. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or your new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292 or visit them by going to ksco.com and click on the yellow box. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
There's two things almost everyone does almost every day, and Showcase Shower Door can improve both of them for you. Hello, I'm Chris Phillips from Showcase Shower Door in Santa Cruz. It's true. We all take a shower, and we all look into a mirror almost every day. It's our job at Showcase Shower Door to make those simple tasks as enjoyable as possible for you. Listen.
I'm Lauren Spencer. I've been a realtor 22 years. A house has to make a really good first impression. I hired Showcase Shower Doors to put in a glass shower door for me. I would really highly recommend Chris Phillips to any of my clients.
Showcase Shower Door will improve your day by upgrading what you do every day. We'll be happy to come to your home and give you a free estimate on a new shower door, mirrors, or any glass work your home needs to feel good. A proud member of the locally owned business community, we are Showcase Shower Door, 831-234-1983, or showcaseshowerdoor.com.
Okay, and we are back with about 16, 17 minutes remaining. We got a full board, and we promise that if you stay with us on hold, we will get to your call, and apologize that you've been waiting so long, but it'll be worth it here. This email came in, MZ, these critics are full of crap. Unfortunately, I must remain anonymous because these Santa Cruz fascists are full of dirty tricks. The KSCO street address is not located in their nuclear-free hate speech zone. Any complaints about a rent-a-mob in the parking lot will be handled by the sheriff's office instead of the city's PC police department. UCSC has brainwashed anti-Semites for decades. They began by torching Israeli flags on campus in the 80s. The ones with more balls than brains have trashed the nearby Jewish cemetery just blocks away. We never did catch those Kristallnacht brown shirts who firebombed the Hillel house near the 7-Eleven store a few years ago. They roll out a red carpet when the Jew haters come to town. Speakers on the other side will be caught in the middle of an unwanted riot. Free speech is only for our brown shirts and their allies. I don't know how David Horowitz missed this information in his piece about the worst university in America, which he says is UC Santa Cruz. And now we have overgrown teeny boppers spray painting Nazi slogans and swastikas in that so-called hate-free zone. Councilwoman Riley is not even Jewish, but Adolf Hitler's trademarks were seen at her business on Mission Street. Maybe they didn't like her bagels. The Nazis had little tolerance for other opinions. KSCO is their target in Santa Cruz, be it boycotts, window shot with BB guns, anthrax threats, or filing false police reports about foul language with the FCC. You must be silenced by any means possible as far as these fascists are concerned. Sieg Heil, Santa Cruz. Okay. Well, and that's, he calls it Sieg Heil, yeah. Oy vey here. Now, I don't think that William or his wife, fit into this category at all, not even close to it. But I do believe that there are a lot of people that were that indeed do think and act and believe as portrayed by Sieg Heil in his email. Okay, next caller, Band Mike. Welcome to the Saturday Special. You are on.
Thanks, MZ, for the program.
program. This is great today.
Okay.
And I generally agree with Kay's commentary, and I'm happy she did it. And I've traveled a good bit around the Middle East, and including Israel, so I have a sense of things that are going on there. And regarding hate speech...
Oh, you know what? Band Mike, I made... This is terrible. I promised I would put this other caller on. I hate to do this because I want to give you some time, but I want to get everybody else, and I promised I'd put the caller on next here. So can you just hold on? We'll come right back to you. I'm sorry. Here, let's put this on because Zoltan is on, and he's got to go. So you're on the air, Zoltan. Sorry.
Hi. First of all, Kay's comment was she was reading somebody else's comment, so there's no reason to attack Kay for this one. I have heard from her for all of the years. Everyone was wonderful, and she's a wonderful person, okay?
I'll certainly drink to that.
Yeah. Yeah, this Patrice who sent this, you know, hateful message to her, you know, was playing for this, fat lesbian, Rosie, you know, the Riveter, whatever is her name, you know?
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell. Okay. Well, you know, she belongs to the same group with this Williams. But anyway, back to the Palestinians, okay, when Kay didn't mention that the Palestinians are lazy, but you know, that's politically, you know, incorrect. In other words, if you're totally brainwashed, you know, then you swallow this garbage. You know, yeah, the Palestinians, yeah, of course, when the grass is green on the other side, they all want to go there. Before that, they sell the land. So as soon as things improve, yeah, they want to come back and use the land. And yeah, we want to have this, our land, so-called quote unquote Palestinian, which is a no-brainer. In my view, the Palestinians are not much more than just useful idiots. You know, in all these 50 years, ever since Israel's existence. I'm not Jewish, but again, if you want to improve something on the Palestinian life, it is all the hundreds of billions of dollars going into Saudi Arabia and all the oil countries. The only thing what they do with the oil is to give enough money for the Palestinians just to barely exist in the camps. So they just keep, you know, they're using welfare money from the United States, from EU, from United Nations, just to keep fighting Israel. So, there's no such thing as Palestinian industry. They don't make TVs. They don't make no bicycles. They don't make nothing. So all this education what they have is nothing more than how to create more suicide bombers. That's the only export they have. So if somebody considers them lazy, well, you know, I second that.
Okay, here, let's bring William on real quick to answer that. William, did you hear that from Zoltan?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And, I do find that characterizing the Palestinians quite bigoted. Okay, so you've been to the Middle East. Did you actually see all of this?
I haven't been to the Middle East. I've been to over 100 countries, and the only thing I see is this, you know, Arafat, who was the chairman of the Palestinians. He was using the Palestinians for his own personal, you know, purpose. He stashed away over... you know, $10 million in Swiss account, and all the Palestinians were just begging for food.
Well, I don't. Okay, I'm not going to argue that with you.
It's not much more than Jesse Jackson for the blacks here using this you know, course, using this case for extorting money from different, you know, countries, different, you know, companies, and so on.
Well, that's a little different than saying the Palestinians themselves are incapable of doing reasonable.
Well, they would be. They would be capable, but they are not doing it.
Well, they don't have land to work with at this point.
Yeah, they have. They have the land, but once you ask them, what do they export? Can you buy something in the store here? What they say, okay, fine, maybe.
They don't have a country. You can't get anything from.
Yes. They could make something. They'll provide something. You know, if they want to do something with their life.
Well.
Look, I'm an immigrant in this country. Now, when I came here 19 years ago, I only had $20 in my pocket. Right now, I have 4 patents. I learned the English, okay? I have 7 more patents pending. I even write my own patents, okay? So don't tell me that you can't do something with your life if you want to do something.
That's very true, but you happen to be in a country where that was much more possible than in a war zone.
Well, you may have a point there, but again, if you're willing to do something for it, look at Jordan made peace with Israel, so did this, you know, Egypt, so they're working with their life, they carry on, the Palestinians.
I think that's great.
Yeah, well, you know, well, You see, the Palestinians, they just don't want to make peace with Israel, period.
There are those factions that don't for their own purposes, and I'm not defending Arafat here because he had his own agenda, but I am saying that to categorize the Palestinians blanketly as lazy and incapable of doing something with their land that, until they saw somebody else come in and do it.
But compared to Palestine, look at Singapore, look at Hong Kong, okay? They're industrial nations, okay? Small countries,
mm-hmm.
okay? They import everything to them, you know, and the only thing what they have is their own labor, okay? How come they can do something with their lives and the Palestinians don't? All the money, all the jobs get out of this country, they get transferred to the Far East, and not a single factory gets built in the Middle East.
Hey, William, do you think Zoltan is bigoted and racist and prejudiced?
Not necessarily. I think he may be somewhat misinformed, but I...
No, I'm not misinformed. I'm not brainwashed, okay?
And that's fine. And there are different points of view. My only issue with this in the beginning was that when you put out what to me is a somewhat one-sided, bigoted, and not factually based point of view, then somebody needs to stand up and say...
Well, tell me the facts, okay? Now here is constantly about the Palestinians, all the poor Palestinians, okay? You go and search the database of the U.S. Patent Office. There are more than 100-1 the Jewish people have patents compared to the billions of Muslims, okay? How come they don't use their brain for something more beneficial for mankind? Hello?
Well, I don't know the statistics on the patents,
but I do. Okay, look at
the
Nobel Prizes.
May I ask if you're talking about the U.S. Patent Office?
Yeah, U.S. Patent Office, which actually, you can set it up, you can check on it region by region, okay, ethnicity by,
But these are U.S. patents, not patents that would cover other countries necessarily.
No, just go to U.S. Patent Office and do it yourself,
No, I'm asking you if these patents are United States patents for the U.S.
Filed in the United States, yes.
Right. Why would necessarily, if I were a Jordanian, would I file a patent with the U.S. if my product was to be primarily used in Jordan and the Middle East?
It's not necessarily you have to. You don't have to.
Right. So that's my point. You're saying that now there's a reason that Israel does a lot of patent exchange here because they work a lot with U.S. high-tech companies, and there's a lot of trade back and forth that would involve patents on those cases.
Good,
I don't think you can say that because the Israelis have a lot more patents with the U.S. Patent Office than do Arab countries, that the Arabs aren't inventing anything or doing anything.
Well, the Palestinians have universities. They could do the same thing.
Which universities do the Palestinians have?
Well, they have a university in Palestine.
And where is this university? What city?
I have no idea.
Palestine does not exist as a country. There is a proposed state in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, but there is no state of Palestine.
Are people who call themselves Palestinians excluded from universities in countries that are real countries with real homes? I mean, I don't think
the
case.
No, they are, but then
I think what Zoltan is saying here is that, avail themselves. If they don't have their own Palestinian state that has its own University of Palestinian State, then there are plenty of others around, unless they're being kept out.
And it's easy to get to a place like that if you have no state and you have no passport.
Oh, my God. Here, we need another hour or two for this program. We only have 6 minutes, and I promised everybody who's waiting that they could talk. Zoltan, thanks for your call.
Okay,
you too.
Yeah, it was good listening to you.
Thanks. Okay, I promised Ban Mike he could finish up here. Let's bring him back on. Ban Mike, see if you can chop it to
a
minute or less. Okay, thanks.
Real quick, one of the greatest pieces of hate speech on the planet is the Palestine National Charter from 1968. The world accuses Israel of not going for peace every time the Palestinians offer it, but they have to understand the definition of peace according to the Palestinians. Their idea of peace is that all nations, this is Article 23 from the Palestine National Charter.
Okay.
The demands of peace are that all nations should regard Zionism as an illegal movement. That was Article 23. Article 15 calls for the liquidation of the Zionist presence in Palestine. Article 9, armed struggle is the only way of liberating Palestine, which is all of the land of Israel. There's your definition of Palestine, according to the Palestinians. Article 10, commando action constitutes the nucleus of the Palestinian popular war of liberation, the liberation of Palestine. It's the duty of, in Article 7, that all Palestinians, this is from childhood, be brought up with a revolutionary Arab upbringing and to instill in him a profound spiritual and material familiarity with the homeland and a readiness for armed struggle and for the sacrifice of his material possessions.
Man, Mike, life. I think you made your point. Thank you so much. We got to move on. Here's Shelley in Aptos. You're on the air.
Maybe Shirley.
Shirley, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're on KSCO.
I would like to know where William got his historic education.
Where, William?
Well, let's see. The resources I was using in this particular case were the Encyclopedia Britannica, and an Encyclopedia of World History, and beyond that, my previous education was at the University of the Pacific in Stockton and San Francisco State.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank
you. I'd like to give you my history background.
Oh my gosh. Can you do it like in 30 seconds? I need to put you on the spot here, but... Okay, good.
I get mine from a book that has been on the market for many, many years, and that's the Bible. And God chose the Jewish people. He chose where they would live. He gave them the land. And he chose Abraham, who had Ishmael, who turned out to be an Arab country. He had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. And, in fact, Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau was turned away, but he chose Jacob. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, and those 12 sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. And Israel will always be. And God does the choosing, and he's sovereign. So I would suggest, William, and I appreciate your background, but delve into the Bible and read it and see what you come up with. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate your call on the KSCO Saturday special. Here's Tammy in Scotts Valley.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that, yeah, that historical point of Sarah kicking out Ishmael has caused the two brothers to be at war ever since. And I think we need kind of a new religious United Nations. I think the present United Nations can't solve the problems because these problems are religious problems, actually. And there's a book called World Scripture that's very helpful in understanding a common basis that we have in Israel. Well, we wouldn't have iPods or cell phones without Israel right now, which I think few of us would not want to live without. And I loved Kay's commentary, actually. I thought it was, you know, fairly accurate. It was, you know, and it wasn't just her words, so I took that into consideration. But when she mentioned the algebra, I laughed out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that was a great one. So, anyway, thank you so much, Michael.
You bet. Thank you for calling the Saturday special. Saint and Hollister, you'll be the last caller today on the Saturday special. You're on.
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
I have a question for you, supposed historian, and if he would read a book by Michael B. Oren, and it's not that old. It's probably 2 or 3 years old, and it's the history of the United States involvement in the Middle East from 1776 till the present day. I think his eyes would be opened a little bit more, and he could take the liberal blinders off that he's obviously put on, and his references suck. I mean, I'm sorry. He passes himself off as a historian, and he better do a lot.
A, I never claimed to be a historian. B, I do think the Encyclopedia Britannica has some standing.
Well, it might have some standing, but it's subtitled, you know, and it's very small. This is an 800-page book of the history. This is only the fourth one I've read on the Middle East, but it's one of the best that I've read in the last 20 years. So please read a little more. Have your wife read it, too, since she is so opinionated. You know, and Kay was right on. I'm sorry, and she was just reading from a comedian who is not that stupid. But thank you very much, Michael, for having me on.
And, okay. And I want to thank William for having the guts to come on and be with us for the whole program. You know, I think it was great.
You got it right. I don't call you very often because only if I have something to say. And he pissed me off when he said it, that he was a historian.
I never said
that.
Well,
I think, you know, in all fairness, he never represented that. I mean, his wife said he knows a lot about history in her email, and I think I might have called him, you know, our historian. So maybe that's where that came from. In all fairness to him, he didn't represent himself as being an historian.
Tell him to just read this book, and this one of the latest, and it's only about 800 pages.
Okay. All right, Saint, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Hey, thanks to everybody. I think we had a pretty lively program. Don't know what we're going to do next week, but tune in. And actually, don't tune out. Just give us a button and keep your radio always tuned to AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. Isn't it yours, William?
I won't say it's my favorite, but I do listen.
Okay, good. Well, we want to become your favorite radio station. What do we have to do to become your favorite radio station?
Well, I appreciate you having me on. That's a good start.
Okay, good. All right. This program will be repeated tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. And as soon as we get it uploaded, it will be available for the next week on demand at www.saturdayspecial.com. So we will be joining Fox News in progress right after we officially end with this.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News in progress.
We do the same thing for business news.
The most powerful name in news is going into business.
We have a tone, a quality, a credibility. There are tremendous opportunities for the average guy to get the kind of information that they have not been able to find anywhere else.
If you care about your financial health, isn't it time you got a second opinion? To locate Fox Business Network in your area, go to foxbusiness.com.
China's earthquake shattered Sichuan province, hit with a 6.0 magnitude aftershock a couple of hours ago, sending people streaming into the streets again. Even as rescue and recovery operations from the 7.9 quake last Monday that killed at least 29,000 people continue. After his commanding victory at the Kentucky Derby, Big Brown is what you might call the runaway favorite to take the Preakness at Baltimore's Pimlico Racetrack.
Most Derby horse trainers say they'd rather take the weekend off than to run against Big Brown again. Only Gallego, who finished a distant 17th out of 20 in the Derby, is entered in the Preakness. Derby show horse Dennis of Cork's trainer saying they didn't enter him because, quote, who the heck is going to beat Big Brown?
Fox's Chris Barnes. The race starts at 6:15 p.m. Eastern. In Spain, police have busted five computer hackers who say they did it for our own good.
The five were arrested in Spain, but their alleged handiwork felt around the world. Police say they hacked into and at times disabled thousands of pages on the Internet, part of an active online hacker group called the DOM team, infiltrating websites from Asia to the